This is Near FM
90.3.
If that did not put you in the Christmas spirit, that gorgeous German choral rendition, nothing will. And joining me in the studio is our own Ciarán Murray, and we're going to talk about Christmas and how it's celebrated, I suppose, here as opposed to Germany. And Ciarán would have a special knowledge of Germany because he has been there quite a number of occasions. He has family who reside in Germany. So, Ciarán, first of all, welcome to the programme. Nice to have you in the studio for a change again.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I suppose these days in Ireland we realise that we have all sorts of different Christmas celebrations, and probably going back a generation or two, there was an Irish Christmas and that was it. But now we're very much aware of lots and lots of Eastern Europeans and all sorts of people and the different ways they have Christmas. But I suppose my expertise more than Poland or Lithuania would be Germany. And today, the 6th of December, is really when they celebrate the main part of Christmas, or at least the gift-giving part of Christmas in Germany. It's on the 6th of December. But I was chatting to the director of the Goethe Institute, Ulrike Gasser, and she's originally from a small village outside Munich. And I think she explains it better than me. She gives a little sense of that sense of German Christmas. So we'll hear a bit from Ulrike.
What's a Bavarian Christmas like?
I don't know if it is so different from an Irish Christmas. I would love to find out, so maybe you can tell me. But one very important difference in comparison, for example, to a more Americanized Christmas culture is that there is no Santa Claus. I think that might be. There is a Christkind.
There's no Santa Claus in Germany.
No.
That's terrible.
There is only Nikolaus, who comes earlier in December. who is a Turk, by the way. Yeah, just mentioning.
Yes, Nikolaus. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, which is wonderful, I think.
So the Turkish man comes with gifts, with presents for the children.
Yes, yeah.
On the 5th of December?
Is that in Bavaria, it's the 5th, but normally in Germany, it's the 6th.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. So then at Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, is that not the time when people give presents?
Yeah, they do. They do, okay, yes. Yeah. But they are brought by someone else, who is the Christkind.
The Christkind, yeah.
Which is kind of an angel.
Yeah.
Or at least I imagined it as being an angel. And so you decorate the tree and then miraculously the door to the living room is closed. And at some point a bell rings. And then you can enter as a child, and then the presents are there.
Oh, wow. Who rings the bell?
The Christkind.
Christkind and the bell. Okay.
Sometimes maybe the father does it for the Christkind, so the Christkind asks the father to do it.
And did you have this kind of bad Santa? Did you have the other side for children?
Yeah, he's called, in Bavaria, he's called Krampus.
Krampus, yeah. Yeah, what's he like?
I mean, he wears a fur and he has chains and, you know, like he's very frightening.
Yeah.
So, yes, I saw him, but...
You saw him?
Yeah, I saw him several times because sometimes he comes together with the Nikolaus.
Okay.
So they come together. So it's the good and the evil, basically. Yeah. But luckily, I come from, you know, a family. Like, my parents didn't think it's a good idea to, you know, to, make Krampus be very bad towards us.
So have you told your son if he doesn't behave, Krampus will come and... take him away or whatever Krampus does?
That's a good question. No, I think I wouldn't do so. But he's also still very small, so he wouldn't understand.
Is Bavaria still traditionally quite Catholic, and is that an important part of Christmas?
On the countryside, yes, I would say yes. When it comes to the cities, it's probably not so much a topic. So also like in any generally in any places as well, and other places as well, like churches tend to be more empty and people don't go to church very much.
Mm-hmm. And the traditional Christmas markets, I mean, that was until very recently very much a German thing and not something that we had here at all. Is that something that you would have always done? You would have always gone to Christmas markets?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you have a particular favorite?
Like a Christmas market or a thing I would do? I mean, there's a wonderful little Christmas market in like very close to the village I come from. I'm born in the countryside. So we would go there. It's close to a lake and it's not so much about consumerism as it is in some of the other bigger cities. But, you know, there are fires burning. You can buy little things and Bratwurstsemmel, for example, which is basically... sausage roll, you would call it. So yes, and you can drink some malt wine. So that was always beautiful.
Yeah, it's a Bratwurstsemmel.
Yes.
Yeah, that semmel word always caught me out when you'd be ordering soup or something, and they'd say, "Would you like semmel?" And you go, "Well, I don't know. What's a semmel?" And the brooching, you know.
Yes, that's also Bavarian. I mean, we're very, you know, like bread is quite a topic.
Yeah. An important topic.
It's an important topic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ah, oh, yeah. Trust the Irishman to bring you back to drink again. Ciarán, it is... I mean, the one thing that jumped out at me there was... Well, two things. Number one was the 6th of December, today's date, being really pertinent to Germans, as opposed to the 25th. And then the other thing that jumped out at me was the mention of Kris Kringle, because we seem to have imported that now into this country as well.
Yeah, I suppose we think in some ways that most of the other Europeans are not that different from us, but then in some of those traditions it is quite different. And that piece comes from the Hiberno Goethe series from the Goethe Institute. That's Goethe, the German poet from that one. But you have that kind of thing whereby they have things like this Krampus, and look it up. I mean, if you've never heard of Krampus, it's kind of this big monster, evil thing with horns and claws. And for the notion for children, if you're bold, you won't get anything from Santa. But if you're bold and Krampus comes and takes you away, it's absolutely terrifying. So certainly that kind of tradition is quite different. And I think it comes from the kind of Scandinavian things where even... the whole kind of Saint Nicholas thing, that you got something good if you were good, but they certainly weren't. They had no place for bold children. They didn't try and hide children from all the other side back in those times.
You mentioned there, Ciarán, that excerpt we heard with you there, that's taken from a series that was made here at Near FM. Just tell us a little bit about that, because I remember one of the interviews was actually with the German ambassador here in Near FM in the days when we could do things like that.
Yeah, the series, as I said, it's Hiberno Goethe is the series, and it's from an idea from the librarian there in the Goethe Institute, Aya Demirci. And Aya just felt that there's a huge amount of kind of crossover and links between Ireland and Germany that we often forget. and it gets a bit overlooked. So we were kind of thinking about who would be good guests for that series. And lots of people, of course, know Father Ted and Dermot Morgan. But I was really surprised. I didn't know, but not many people know that Dermot Morgan married a German woman and their children were brought up in German. So Dermot Morgan's son, Donacha, was one of the guests, and he just talked about his own upbringing and his father. And he talked about something, and you'll often see it if you go back and look. If you look at Dermot Morgan on The Late Late Show, he plays lots of German characters. And obviously from being married to a German, he picked up quite a bit of German. And Dermot Morgan was probably a good German speaker. But again, it's not something that we think of as that obvious.
Are the German population in Ireland, Ciarán, are they overlooked? Because we have, you know, I mean, I know in my time that the biggest non-Irish population here was the British. And then they were sort of superseded by the Polish and the Lithuanians and the Latvians. Have the Germans been overlooked?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a very large population. It's in and around 10,000, you know, which is a sizable amount. And we always had Germans who kind of went to the West and lived in the West and stuff. And you always had Germans who came here and worked in places like Siemens and those big German industrial places. And then you probably had always lots of German students and German academics who came here. So there is quite a big population there, but they're probably a little bit invisible. You know, you don't tend to have a big celebration on German National Day, or you don't tend, well, maybe that's for different reasons, but you don't tend to see a lot of German flags and stuff. But as I said, there are a lot of people. Hugo Hamilton is one of the guests in the series as well, and I mean, he's a very well-known Irish writer. But again, he's brought up his mother. Well, his story in his famous book, The Speckled People, is about being brought up as Gaeilge in Irish and in German in the 1950s with no English. They didn't speak English in their home. So Hugo Hamilton's story is a particularly unusual one. But there was a famous German writer who won the Nobel Prize for Literature in the 1970s. But he came here after the Second World War to write, and he went to Achill Island in particular, and he bought a cottage. The cottage is still there today. It's a kind of cultural centre now. But he wrote a famous book, famous in, more so in Germany than here, My Irish Diary. And it has sold millions and millions of copies in Germany, and it still sells really well. And it kind of set a lot of that, how could I say, that 60s German hippie generation started coming here. Because in some ways, there wasn't the kind of any resentment after the Second World War. There wasn't the level of resentment against Germans that there was in, obviously, in Britain and in Holland and other countries. So Germans often felt comfortable coming here.
Yeah, well, of course, I suppose that a lot of that might go back to the mentality of the enemy of my enemy is my friend type of thing, probably.
Oh, of course, you know? Yeah.
And actually, you mentioned there about the West of Ireland, where I come from at home, and I talk about it a lot when I'm sitting here in this chair. I'm 17 miles from Killarney, and one of the biggest employers in that area around Killarney in my time was Lieber Brothers, who make the cranes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to this day, they're still there. And I suppose maybe did the German connection in Ireland, and was thinking back while you were talking there, I suppose, unfortunately, when we think of it, we think of Dr. Tida Hermann, the kidnapping back in the 70s, you know what I mean?
I think Dr. Tida Hermann was Dutch.
You could have been right, but I mean, there was that connection was
well,
made, you
I
know?
I think it's possible that in the early years of the new state, 100 years ago today, indeed, it was the signing of the treaty, they didn't want to bring in British firms. So once they started on this kind of state building, nation building program for Ardna Crusha, they brought in German firms. Ardna Crusha, I think, was built mostly by Siemens. Don't quote me on that. But they did bring in a huge amount of German funds and firms, and a lot of the big, big state projects. They got in German engineering and they got in German specialists because they didn't want the British in.
And of course, so then that would have led, because no matter which way you go at that, if you bring in a certain cohort from any country, some of them just don't return, they stay here. And they immerse themselves in the Irish culture.
Yeah, and then you also have the other side where lots of Irish people go to Germany too. And you clearly don't have the big population like the Irish in the States or the Irish in Britain. But lots of people over the years have gone there to work, and often with a kind of cultural connection. And if you look up Siobhan Armstrong, one of our most well-known harpists, she lived in years for Germany.
And anyone with that kind of classical music link, there's a wonderful opera singer called Sharon Carty. And again, it's easier to make your living as an opera singer in Germany than it is in Ireland. But Sharon was one of the guests as well. And then I suppose you have Michael Fassbender, who's half German. There's a young woman we interviewed called Emily Kraft, and she's played football for the Irish women's football team. And her mother is from Sutton, and she's born in Germany, but of course chooses to play for Ireland. So when you think of the people pulling on the green jersey, it's not just people of English parents, because we're used to seeing that part.
And indeed, we are striking a note with a lot of our listeners this afternoon, Ciarán, because, says he reaching back, "Hi Donny, my brother lives in Erlangen, which and has an Irish pub. He is married to a German lady, and they celebrate Christmas and have Christmas dinner and Christmas Eve." And this is amazing, this connection with people. "We also have friends in Hamburg who love holidays in Ireland." And that's a very interesting thing, actually, because I suppose prior to the arrival of Jack Charlton, and not so much his football boots, but his fishing rods into Ireland, the amount of Germans that used to come here for the fishing in the summer was astronomical.
Yeah, I suppose the Grüne Insel, or the Green Island, as the Germans always think of that. And we have to remember that lots of parts of Germany are kind of huge industrial cities. So there was a sense of escape from that, particularly to the west and to the wilds. And they often found Ireland quite empty as well. But I love the way, as I said, it goes across the generations, because that young woman, Emily Kraft, playing football for Ireland's only 19. And in the social media world, there's a social media sensation called Killer Sundy, whose name is Killian Sunderman. And of course, his father is Irish, and his father came over here as a teacher. But Killian does these really comical kind of crossover between how the German and Irish cultural manners thing, how we approach things. And you know that thing about when an Irish person offers another Irish person a piece of cake, you first have to say, "I know your grand thanks. I know, sure I wouldn't. Sure, maybe I'll take a small piece." And you gradually get into it. Germans don't really have that gradual build-up. They just say yes or no, whether or not they want the cake or not. And Killian plays with that idea of being half Irish and half German. Killy Sundy, he's all over TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and whatever you have on yourself.
And not wishing to promote any form of licensed premises anywhere, but if anybody is in that part of Germany, another text message in there to say, the Germans love the Irish pubs, and the pub in that part of Germany is known as Murphy's Law, is the name of the Irish pub.
I haven't been there. I've travelled a lot in Germany, and Jordan Deers, and I live there, but that's a pub then I'll have put on my list to check out. Thanks very much for sending that in.
And the other side of it, I mean, to bring it up to maybe my era, somebody in the entertainment industry here who is synonymous with the Eurovision was Johnny Logan. Now, if you look back over Johnny Logan's career and look at his record sales here, he wouldn't be rich out of it. Look at his record sales and his popularity in Germany. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, it's true, it's true. And that tradition as well of their interest in Irish musician and the Irish musical world, it crosses quite a range of things, because, of course, the Dubliners were huge. Huge in Germany. But I do remember living in Germany back in the 80s and 90s, and people saying, "Oh yes, the Irish music is so wonderful. You have Johnny Logan, and then what do you call those other fellas? U2? But Johnny Logan was bigger than U2. You'd always say Johnny first, and then they tell you about U2.
And indeed, without a cast of a shadow of a doubt, everywhere they went in the world, they were huge. The Chieftains as well in Germany.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. They were massive, okay. And I suppose the Germans do have, they're very musical, the Germans, and they. I would say that the Germans probably, there's more musicians, but they're not natural performers. They can be a little bit shy, and the Irish people don't tend to be shy. So, you know, if you could play three chords and on your guitar and sing a few Christy Moore songs, you get away with performing in Germany because you're Irish, because they like that rawness or something.
Yeah, well, sure. Joxel even went to Stuttgart.
Yeah, Yeah, indeed.
But I mean, the thing is that, you know, and again, another text message in on that. It says here, Jürgen and Katie come here every year to Ireland by boat and have been doing it for 30 years. So, I mean, what we're chatting about today is definitely resonating with people listening to us. And that is something, I mean, I know you have family connections there, so that's one of the reasons that you go over there and know so much about the country. But there's a lot of people coming here from Germany and they just come here and that's it. They came once, liked it, and it's almost like a second home. Excuse me. And you mentioned the West of Ireland. An awful lot of Germans have holiday homes in the West of Ireland as well and are a big part of the summer economy there.
Yeah, again, it probably goes back to Heinrich Bull and his Irish diary, and it goes back to that image of the green Ireland, and it goes back, even as you say, to my enemy's enemy is my friend. It is, and there's all those kind of interwoven traditions that are there. And again, as I said too, there was probably a lot of Irish people who went over and worked on German building sites, worked in German factories. And when Irish people made that connection with the Germans, they often brought Germans back with them. The Germans came back here to live here too.
Yeah, it's an unusual one, Ciarán. And I mean, as you know, I listen to an awful lot of radio, but this is the first radio station. I'm not saying it because it's near FM and I work here. But they've really started doing a deep dive into the connection, the Irish-German cultural and on all the other connections over the years. Nobody else started doing it. And I mean, when you hear that documentary again, and Ciarán will tell us in a moment now where you can get your hands on it and listen to it again, but when you hear it, like, there is a very, very strong bond between Ireland and Germany, and Germany and Ireland, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and as I said, I can't claim real credit for it. It was our colleague, Dorothy Meyer-Holkamp, who, of course, is German, and Oya Demirci, the librarian in the Goethe Institute. And they just kind of felt that there was a huge thing there that hadn't really been explored. So as a podcast series, just listening to some of those stories, the Irish who've spent many years in Germany and the Germans who've spent many years here. And it's called Hiberno Goethe. And you'll find it on the Nearcast site, but you'll find it on Spotify, or you'll find it on iTunes, you'll find it anywhere. If you just look up the podcast, you'll find it there, and there's a whole range. I almost forgot, there's an Irish writer, a lovely writer called Mia Gallagher, whose grandparents are German as well, and she writes a lot about that sense of your background and that Germanness behind you. So yeah, lots of interesting stuff there.
Well, if anybody is looking to see where that particular premises is in Germany, it's on the Bavarian end of Germany. So there you go. Ciarán Murray, he's our boss here at Near FM. Ciarán, thanks a million for dropping into me. We did mention, of course, and we started, should I say, with a German song. And very few people, but Ciarán did know it, we're going to close out with another German Christmas song, and not a lot of people know, despite the fact that it was recorded by everybody, this actually originated in Germany.
Schläft einsam nur. Schlaf in himmlischer Ruhe.
This is Near FM
90.3.